Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
This week we're talking about dissociative identity disorder, and I will not alter the facts.
I see what you DID there.
And this is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still, the podcast where I answer the questions you never thought to ask. I am Nick Wood.
I am John Began.
And how are you doing this week, John?
Oh boy, you got a half hour to unpack that?
We have about a half an hour.
Okay, well,
I already have a topic picked up.
Oh, all right.
Week,
so. That's fine. I'm good. I'll give you the, I'm fine. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well.
Oh, look at you. I said properly. Because you're just upset with my good.
Yeah. So, ever since, there was a period of time where Shelby was watching 30 Rock, which was a show on NBC that took place at the NBC studios. It was a weird show. And what's the actor's name?
Tracy Morgan.
So his name in the show is really similar, so I always get them confused now because I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
But Tracy Morgan asks how someone's doing. He's like, "I'm doing good." And he's like, "No, you're doing well.
Yeah.
Superman does good." So I used that on John the other day, and John's like, "I don't get it." So I had to show him the clip.
It's because I've never seen 30 Rock. I've only watched 30.
Well, if you knew your grammar.
I watched 30 The Rocks, which is just 30 of The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's solving crimes.
I saw an image on Reddit yesterday that was a Photoshop picture of Dwayne Johnson next to a Dwayne Johnson, and the caption was, "I think The Rock and Dwayne Johnson are the same person."
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's a good conspiracy.
I know.
The other thing,
some memes.
Eating good. I mean, they put
eating
that in
well.
Eating well in neighbor hell. Yeah, that's why they make it that.
Who says eating good in the neighborhood?
It's eating well in the neighbor hell.
Well,
Bapplebee's. Isn't
Bapplebee's.
It?
Is yeah, probably.
I don't know. Half price apps.
I haven't gone to Applebee's in a really long time.
I can't.
They became like the Smash Mouth of sit down restaurants.
They did. Actually, there's a like upcoming meme culture. Little update real quick.
Yeah.
Meme corner. This is a little new segment.
Da-da-da. We got to put a stinger here.
Applebee's memes have become so prevalent that there are anti-Applebee's memes.
Yeah. See, like,
anti-Applebee meme memes.
I'll go there and I'll get stuff and I know it's microwaved or whatever. I've never had as bad a service as people claim to have.
Yeah.
Like, people close to me have said, like, "Oh, I went there and no one served me for 15 minutes. I called the manager over and I still didn't get served for another 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm too hipster to eat microwaved food. I only eat vaporwave food.
Yeah. You're in the future, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the future, that was no segue.
Yeah.
We should move on to the topic for this week.
Okay.
Is that a good? That's not a good.
It's
segue.
A good.
That's not a
it's
good.
A good.
You know, one other thing I just want to call out is we might sound a little bit different this week because I painted the wall.
That's right. Reverb right off the wall.
Yeah.
Into your ears.
I redid our studio a little bit and I'm really proud of it.
I
think it looks really good in here.
It's a good blue or gray or purple.
You can't really tell. Do you even notice I put up matching curtains? Those curtains match the wall now.
Yeah, I did notice that. They look good.
I'm doing like interior decorating now in one area of my house.
Yeah.
Speaking of one area of my house, there are several areas of my house that sometimes I find myself going into for one purpose or another. Maybe I'm going into the bathroom to hide from the Mormon people knocking on my door.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe I go into my bedroom to avoid listening to Shelby talk on the phone or something like that.
You do some weird stuff.
Yeah, but the point is, I do weird stuff. My point is, sometimes I use different parts of my house as a function for preserving my personality.
Wow.
I made it a segue.
Yeah. Just like Stretch Armstrong.
Well, I was going to say just like dissociative identity disorder.
Okay.
What's your comparison to Stretch Armstrong?
I don't know. It was a stretch.
Oh, God. Okay. You win this round.
And it was a fun toy.
Yeah. I was telling my dad the other day, there's like a whole stretch force now. If you go to the toy aisles at Walmart,
wow,
there's like different stretchers.
Do they rip into toxic chemicals if you probably pull them too hard? Like
you
the old
drink
ones?
Them and you die, and you get superpowers right before you die, but you can't use them because you're dead. So dissociative identity disorder, it's going to be a big one this week. We could like go on for hours talking about it, because as I was researching, I found out there's this huge debate going on whether like what causes it, whether it's real at all.
Yeah,
which I didn't even think that was a conversation we were having in 2018, but I guess we're still having that conversation. Dissociative identity disorder might be more commonly known as multiple personality disorder, at least in today's world. That's how I knew it. We don't use that term so much anymore, just because there's a lot of misconceptions that come with the name, like multiple personalities. It's not really multiple personalities. It's more of a splintering of one identity, and it's not personalities, it's identities. We'll get into that. As we get into it, it'll make sense as to why dissociative identity disorder is a better name. And the only reason I give that context is because I think most people know it as multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
So let's bridge that gap over to DID, dissociative identity disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably refer to it as DID because dissociative identity disorder is a mouthful.
Yeah. And now with DID, yeah, you know me.
I do know you.
Mm-hmm.
Or do I? Do you have multiple identities?
Look at that.
One last warning on this episode is that it's a pretty serious and rare disorder and has a lot to do with childhood trauma, which is something I discovered. So a warning like we always give, it's a serious topic. So if we make jokes or we laugh, we're not laughing at the disorder, the people that suffer from it. We're just
keeping you entertained.
Keeping you entertained.
What do you want?
Trying to keep things light.
Yeah.
Not trying to be jerks about it.
Learning could be fun, even about terrible,
yeah,
sad things.
We're laughing with you.
If you're laughing.
If you're laughing. And if you're just
if like, you're not, skip it.
If you're breathing out through your nose, we're breathing out through your nose with you. I don't like that.
Doesn't
where that sentence
go down
went.
Right. Yeah.
So there seems to be a lot of ways that DID can be defined out there. At the root of the word is, take a stab.
Take
dissociative.
A stab?
What's the root of dissociative?
Disassociate.
Well,
dis.
It's a diss track for your brain.
Yeah.
No, it's dissociative, not disassociative. That's a mistake that I made. The root is dissonance, which we've talked about before.
Okay.
We're experts on dissonance. I totally don't remember anything from that episode. But we talked about cognitive dissonance, and that's kind of where you separate your thoughts and feelings on a subject matter from what's being presented to you in reality.
That's fact.
So, yeah, you are... you believe for 27 years of your life that pigs are blue, and you go to a farm and you see a bright pink pig and you're like, well, obviously my eyes are playing tricks on me, and you just try to come up with all these explanations.
Yeah,
because it's counter to the reality is counter to what you feel.
Right.
Is correct.
It's the Ben Shapiro effect.
Yeah. let's just start calling it that.
Okay.
It's no longer cognitive dissonance. It's the Ben Shapiro phenomenon.
But he does projection and claims that he does facts over feelings,
yeah,
but he doesn't.
Right. We try to do facts over feelings.
Get at me, Benny boy.
Yeah, come on. Let's start some controversy. The idea behind DID kind of starts with this dissonance, except this time it's your sense of identity being separated from yourself. This is going to get a little bit confusing, and there's going to be a lot of abbreviations, so just try to stay with me. There's one article that was actually on WebMD, which normally I'd be like, that website's a crock of crap. You start coughing and you think you have a leg tumor.
Yeah.
You know, the old leg tumors.
Leg tumor coughing syndrome.
That's the first body part that I thought of. But this article is like actually really well written. It was almost like a How Stuff Works article, but on DID. And it mentions at the very top of the article that a lot of us have experienced some sort of dissociative thing, like daydreaming or something like that, where you're just like spacing out. That's a form of being dissociated from yourself. DID cranks that up like to the highest extreme your brain can go, because brains are weird and do weird things, and that's DID is a result of that. And the dissociation is so severe that it's not just your identity, but also your memories and feelings and actions become dissociated from yourself as well, and like get compartmentalized. That one. So I'll get into this a little bit. Well, I was going to get into it later, but there's these alters. That's what the other identities are referred to as.
My word was wrong, by the way.
No, that's what...
Compartmentalized?
Oh, it's close enough. Everyone knows what you're talking okay. about. Language is about communicating ideas, not about being correct.
Okay, good.
Says the guy that yelled at you for saying that you're doing good. But anyway, the alters have like an autobiographical memory, which is pretty strange. They have an entire lifetime's worth of memory that only that part of or that splintered identity can access. The normal or the, what's the official name? The apparently normal part of the personality or the ANP.
That's could, like could we call it the primary?
Well, yeah, we could call like, it the primary.
Like
let's
your
call
main
it the
Smash
primary.
Fighter?
Yeah, but... That's a really long name. Apparently normal part of the personality. That's like the core identity that you associate with. So it's like what you associate with your birth name, your birth gender, age, race, all that stuff. That's your ANP, or as we will call it, your primary.
Or not your birth gender, but the gender you associate.
That you identify with, well, we've talked about dysphoria before. I think that that's probably a sort of dissonance there, too.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know.
Sure.
But yes, you are correct. So usually there's, like I said, there's the alters, that's the splintered off identities, and usually there's some sort of trigger that will cause that splintering. Usually it's environmental. It's not usually like you're just like panic attacks where we talked about you could just be sitting there and all of a sudden it happens. Usually that's not what happens with DID. I imagine that that can happen because anything is possible with your big old crazy lizard brains out there. Not people with DID have lizard brains. We all have lizard brains. They do weird things is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
See how carefully I'm trying not to be an idiot about this.
No, it's fine. Lizard, we don't have lizard listeners as far as we know.
Well, if you're out there, rate us on iTunes. We'll read your review.
Yeah.
So the those,
on the dark web.
On the dark web. We pay a high price on the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
It is 4 functional livers.
That's right.
For one episode.
Yep. Yeah. Price is so steep, mm-hmm. you feel a little Illuminati about it.
Yeah. That's
it's
our
a little
slogan.
Irresponsible.
That's our slogan. So anyway, the splinters are called alters, and some of the identities might be more pronounced than others. Like I said, some of them might have an autobiographical memory. Most of them will be able to access the memories of the primary identity, but the primary identity can't access the memories or actions of the alters. By and large, DID is classified by having at least 2 or more distinct personalities. Obviously, these alters can have their distinct mannerisms, way of speaking, or vocabulary, or vernacular, whatever you want to call it. They might associate with a different age, sex, or race than the primary identity, which to me is like, your brain is just so crazy that it can do that.
All this reminds me of acting classes.
Yeah.
Because my teacher used to say, I don't want to see any effing acting up there.
Yeah.
Because he would want us to actually feel and...
No, you
want to
enter the character.
Be that character. Especially when you're a, like, method actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like DID is doing that unwillingly.
Yeah. Or subconsciously.
Yeah.
Or consciously, as some people believe, which we'll get into. I think that point will come up in a little bit. So when the alters take over, the primary usually suffers from amnesia, so they have some sort of, like, blackout while the alter is going about the day. They might just suffer from any array of memory issues, not just like amnesia. They might just find it hard to remember like basic facts about themselves, like
short term.
Yeah. Well, no, like long term, like they might be able not to recall like their hometown for whatever reason at a point in time, just weird like memory issues that occur in a lot of these patients. We used to think that the identities were developed in the brain and then grew to their own complete identity or personality, and that's where multiple personality disorder comes from. And our current understanding of DID is that it's more like the identity is splintering, like I said. And this was changed, or I guess our term was changed back in 1994 when we changed it from multiple personality to dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah.
Which, given just my understanding of the disorder, I would have thought it was a lot more recent than that, because I had always heard of it as multiple personality disorder until one of our listeners suggested this topic as dissociative identity disorder. But that was back in 1994. People just still call it multiple personality disorder.
That's why we're doing this, right?
That is what we're doing. That's a good point.
Beyond that, can I just make a pastiction real quick? Prediction about what happened in the past?
Sure.
I'm gonna say, when you get to the history part and we get to ancient Egypt, as we always do,
it's called a postdiction.
Sure. I'm going to say... No, that's when you can't stop listening to Post Malone. I'm going to say that ancient Egyptians thought that it was two souls trapped in one body. That's my prediction. Post-diction.
I didn't find anything on that, but I was going to ask you when the first like documented case of DID or MPD took place. Is your guess ancient Egypt?
Always. It's default.
Well...
They did everything.
I'm sure that they existed back then, but I would imagine that they thought they were being taken over by demons or something like that, or the gods were speaking through them. That's my best guess.
Okay.
I didn't come across like any documented cases back in the day.
You never found anything with two souls, one body?
No, I didn't look into
it. It's such a, like, it sounds, it makes me sound really smart.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Hashtag two souls.
Yeah.
That sounds like a shock video, like two girls, one cup.
It sounds,
you know, two souls, one body.
I hate that. I was going to go
me
with
too.
I was going to go with two chains, but like singing.
Yeah.
Two souls.
Yeah. I like mine better.
Okay. Weird.
I don't, but I just want to say that to counteract you.
Right.
So the only reason I guess I say that is because it's been mistaken for a lot of things in the past. Back in the 1700s to about the 1900s, it was being confused with schizophrenia a lot, which is understandable. These people dissociate from themselves. They hear voices. They see things that aren't there. And apparently schizophrenia is also considered a comorbid disorder, which is a disorder that you usually see among other disorders. And there's a lot of other dissociative disorders that come along with DID, like PTSD, eating disorders, bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder. The list goes on. Like anything where you're becoming dissociated from yourself.
And I'm sure your alters can have their own mental illness.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe one of your alters is bulimic or something like that.
That's
a comorbid eating disorder. I guess kind of our understanding of it, just to go back to that, I forgot to finish my point there. We believe now that the reason the alters take control is sort of a coping mechanism for your brain. So the primary identity is presented with something that it feels it can't handle. So your fight or flight reaction kicks into gear and the alters take over to help your brain from like being overwhelmed, basically.
That makes sense.
This goes back to the trauma stuff that we'll talk about later in the episode. Going back, I guess, less recent than the 1700s. Back in 1791 was the first time we had a documented case of DID. This was a case of a 20-year-old woman. This is pretty famous. She was born, lived in Germany her whole life, like thoroughbred German. And one day, she started speaking in French and started acting like a French aristocrat. I almost said aristocrat. And I, as I was writing that word out, I was like, I'm going to say aristocrat. So, and then when she would come back to her primary identity or A&P, she would have no recollection of what the French alter had done. That was like the first case of any DID.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah, please.
She must have had to speak fluent French as a German.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, unless she was like, holy boo, oui, like really bad fake.
Like what I would say.
Yeah.
Moulin Rouge.
Right.
The Bibliothèque.
No.
So jumping forward, there was an explosion of cases in 1973 when there was a book that came out. It's called Sybil. And that book comes with its own series of controversies. People say that the author made it up. People say that they made it up just so they could like sell merchandise, which is whatever. I'm not going to go into that book, whether or not it's true. But regardless of whether it was real or not, it brought DID to the public eye. So there's this boom of reported cases. And that's going to happen with any sort of illness that people, like when we talked about Ebola, two people in the United States were infected with Ebola. And
for 2 years, when I would donate plasma, it would say, have you been to Africa?
Yeah.
Do you have Ebola? Does your friends have Ebola?
Have you traveled outside the United States in the last 6 months or whatever?
Some like weird fear mongering. Like I feel like the executives made that decision.
I don't know that they made that decision, but the public gets so worried about it, and like doctors' visits spike when that happens. Same thing happened with swine flu. Same thing with bird flu, mad cow disease. All of these illnesses have like been reported in one place, and then all the doctors are like, you better watch out. Don't eat that crazy meat.
No, not the doctors, the news.
Yeah, definitely the news, but same thing,
right?
Pop culture picks it, runs with it, and then doctors' visits spike. And these days, we have a better understanding of, certainly, of DID than we had in the past. It's not like demons or anything. And used to get confused with a bunch of different disorders. Now we kind of narrow the scope, and I did source Jason Lee, who worked in like cognitive behavioral therapy, and he had some friends that worked in with DID, and they said that there's not really any like hard set rules for how to classify DID, but we do have like a list of symptoms we can look for, and then I think four different bullet points of things to look out for.
That's gotta be so difficult because you don't know who you're dealing with.
Yeah. It is, and I feel like it's rare, and the people that Jason spoke to said that it's rare, but then I also found stats that like 1% of the population suffers from it.
That's a lot.
That is a lot, and I don't know if it's that prevalent, but that's for the end of this episode.
Yeah.
So some of
hopefully they didn't round up and mess up our stats.
Yeah. Well, I also saw 1-3%, but no sources.
That's nuts.
It is nuts, and I don't. Like, that would mean that when I go to work, there's, of the people that I interact with daily, like, three of them have DID.
There's no way.
Maybe they do, and I just don't know them very well.
It could probably be mild, too.
Yes, and it's not black or white, so there is a lot of gray to work with here. But there's some symptoms we can look out for. This list comes from WebMD as well. The symptoms include depression, mood swings, suicidal thoughts, sleep disorders like insomnia, night terrors, or sleepwalking, anxiety, panic attacks, and phobias, like flashbacks, reactions to stimuli or triggers, so like PTSD, alcohol and drug abuse, compulsions and rituals like OCD or OCPD, psychotic-like symptoms including auditory and visual hallucinations. That's where you get it confused with schizophrenia and eating disorders. So you can see how this can easily be confused with eating disorders. And a lot of those are just comorbid is the term used for that.
Yeah, it's like a fun collage.
Is the word I would choose. In order to actually be diagnosed with DID, though, you have to be... This came from Psychology Today. They gave four specific symptoms that you have to be suffering in order to be diagnosed, which is the individual experiences two or more distinct identities or personality states, each with its own enduring pattern of perceiving, relating to, and thinking about the environment and self. Some cultures describe this as an experience of possession, so like demons. Demons. We say like those... prosperity preachers by the big planes.
Yeah.
I want to go on the planes with the demons. It drives Shelby batty. The second one is the disruption in identity involves a change in self or sense of self, sense of agency, and changes in behavior, consciousness, memory, perception, cognition, and motor function. So you can have like, I don't remember if this was like on United States of Terra. Remember that Showtime show or something I've heard of, but people have had alters that are blind and the primary identity can see just fine.
Yeah.
So it's like weird, like your brain just does so much weird stuff. And we didn't talk about this, but someone linked a video on our Facebook page that talked about blind sight or something like that, where someone is like, they can't see at all. It's just all nothing, but their brain still picks up on what the eye is receiving. It just does get transferred to the temporal lobe or something like that.
Yeah.
So they can like navigate a simple obstacle course, lay down on the ground and like not trip over some blocks that were set up. Or they can like show them pictures of emotions, people smiling, people sad, and their face will like reflect that emotion and they won't know why because their brain is processing it. It's just they can't see it. So your brain will still take in that stimuli and just do nothing.
That's like terrifying.
Right?
That's such a sad thing.
Like when I hear about this stuff and like repressed memories, I'm like, what's going on in my brain that I don't know about? That's all I want to know. It's our brains are scary.
Yeah. And then if you have that, you make up for it with other senses, like my dog JJ, who... I don't understand. I was walking down the stairs the other day and he was going up the stairs. I wasn't even like moving. So there's no way he could have heard me and he still like stopped right in front of me.
Yeah. Maybe smelled you.
Smelled? I don't
know. He's got infrared detector.
I don't know. He's some kind of ghost hunter.
Yeah. Ghost hunter? Like Goober and the Ghost Chasers?
Whatever,
It's a Hanna-Barbera show. Listen to Limited Cell every Monday. So the third one is frequent gaps are found in memories of personal history, including people, places, and events for both the distant and recent past. These recurrent gaps are not consistent with ordinary forgetting. So, like, I forgot where I put my keys. That's ordinary. But if you forget your middle name, it's not ordinary. You forget who your sister is. That's not ordinary. The fourth one is these symptoms cause clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, and other important areas of functioning. That's kind of the most gray one, the grayest symptom that we have. But... all four of those, if you have all four of those symptoms, you might have DID. You might want to go get yourself checked out. Go see a therapist. Call your local library. I mean, doctor.
Yeah.
So the cause of DID is something that's highly contested, as I've alluded to many times.
Trauma.
There's four main schools of thought on it. As far as I saw, I'm sure there's infinite, but it's either caused by some sort of trauma or inability to cope. It could be a rare branch off of other dissociative disorders like borderline personality disorder or PTSD. Both of those make sense to me. I'll get into why. Some people think that it's manufactured by hypnotherapists, or it's flat out fake.
But what's the percentage of those people that also think the Earth's flat?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I read that, and I was like, oh, these guys are crocs. But then I found MDs writing papers on how hypnotherapists are creating these identities within people.
I'm sure you have some sort of influence, no matter what, if you're a therapist. It's hard not to.
Well, we've talked about, like, false memories created by hypnosis.
How scary is it to, like... I guess that you can't put too much thought into it, but if you're a therapist, mm-hmm. like, okay, what kind of plant am I going to buy? Because everyone in this room, it's going to change their mood. Like,
yeah.
You really have to think about it. You probably have to have a really good interior designer, huh?
Yeah.
They should hire you.
Well, isn't Malcolm's wife our network head? Isn't his wife a therapist? Should ask her.
We should ask her, yeah.
Yeah. Malcolm, if you're listening, let us know what
he is.
She has.
And you know, when you talked about earlier about how you start daydreaming, I always daydream about the future of who's listening to this.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're directly talking to them.
Yeah.
So Malcolm, I know it's hot out there. You keep it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, now it's just like, raining a bunch because the hurricane's
coming. Yeah. Just keep, you know.
Stay dry. Don't get pneumonia. We mm-hmm. care about you.
Right.
So DID, where were we? The schools of thought. So I'll give my personal thoughts on this probably like after the break, but there are, like, between articles written by psychologists, I found all kinds of, like, shade getting thrown back and forth. So there would be, like, one study that said we looked at brainwave patterns and we saw that there are distinct identities, and then people on the other side would be like, yeah, well, your methodology sucked.
Oh,
and
you
took out data that didn't help your hypothesis.
Dang.
And stuff like that. And then, like, the other way around where people would say...
Then they release a mixtape saying the opposite.
Yeah. Come after me, rice gum. You don't know crap about my brain. That's the only diss track maker right now is rice gum.
That's fine. All the ones they're doing right now, I'm like,
yeah, it's rice gum, right?
Sure.
Asian Jake Paul, as H3 calls him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which he probably calls himself that.
I think he does.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate YouTube.
Yeah.
I watch it so much every day and I hate it. So the most agreed upon cause is that it stems from some sort of trauma. And the idea is that sometime, usually in our childhood, we encounter something traumatic. And in order to cope with it, our personality splinters off into other personalities to protect the ANP, like we said at the top of the show. That trauma is usually described as sexual or physical abuse, but it can also be like a jarring loss of a loved one or severe illness. Say you come down with pneumonia and you're bedridden for months at a time. Something along those lines can also generate DID.
Yeah, and it's 1700s and you don't have an iPad.
Like, yeah, you can watch Rick and Morty in your bed.
Yeah, you're probably more likely to develop some kind of craziness, for lack of a better
craziness.
Term.
Not craziness. Yeah. Disorder. I also read that more women suffer from DID, and there's this really old paper published in 1889, that looked at 336 patients with DID, and 300 of them were women. So it came out to a ratio of about 9 to 1.
Whoa.
For every one man that was diagnosed with DID, there was 9 women diagnosed with DID. And it's an old article, and I think they say, like, if an article's older than 10 years, you can't really trust the stats, but it's the best source I could find, and I imagine that the stats are pretty similar today. Some people...
I thought about that today, just real quick.
Yeah.
I thought about how there's a lot of stuff that goes on every day that we don't see,
mm-hmm.
so it's hard to put your finger on if there's no studies.
Yeah.
And one of the examples is how men and women are treated differently
mm-hmm.
in the world, and I wonder how that affects... Like, I forget what I was associating it with particularly, because we talked about something on an episode, some kind of...
Stat
or theory.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's my only thought.
Well, people on in the trauma camp, I don't know if I want to call it that, but people that side...
the worst camp.
No, it's no fun there. Some might say it's traumatic. But the people that side with trauma being the cause of DID think that this is because more women suffer from sexual and physical abuse in their childhood.
Yeah.
And this was more a recent stat, but the ratio of women to men is pretty much the same at 10 to 1.
Okay.
So women diagnosed with DID is 9 to 1. Women, or people that experience sexual or physical abuse abuses 10 to 1. So,
and hold on, was that a binary study, or were there trans people included? Or?
I don't think that there were trans people included. This is, it wasn't like super.
Because if
recent,
there's, but... if you include dysphoria, that's going to skew it too.
Sure, yeah. And people who are critics of this will say that correlation does not mean causation, which is true, but it is certainly something to consider.
So. All right.
The other group of people think that DID, well, I guess the people that believe that it is a real issue, believe that it's a subset of borderline personality disorder or PTSD, and they sort of treat it the same in terms of like psychotherapy or a bit cognitive behavioral therapy. They treat it the same as like PTSD in some cases. So borderline personality disorders where you have like wild personality swings that tend to disrupt your life. PTSD is obviously there's some sort of trigger that causes you to, for lack of a better term, regress back to some sort of traumatic event. And I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think as we went through the list of symptoms, it could just be a combination of all these dissociative disorders that result in your personalities fracturing.
This has got to be the hardest thing in the world to study. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's part of the problem. And as we'll get into next, there's people that think it's BS, for lack of a better term. And the truth is, there's not a lot of study on it. There's not a lot of science out there, and it's really hard to, one, diagnose, and two, study.
It's, yeah, first of all, you have to interview people, and then it's anecdotal.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also empirical evidence, but again, we get into the
brainwave
argument.
Scans, mostly, yeah, right?
But then you have people on the other side saying, well, that study was done poorly, and stuff okay. like that. So the people that that don't believe... I don't want to say they don't believe in it, but they don't believe in it. What am I trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say.
They don't subscribe to that theory.
They don't subscribe to the other, the trauma theory, think that it's a result of hypnotherapy. And supposedly, the people with DID are more susceptible to hypnosis, and it's easier for a hypnotist to bring out the alters and talk to them while the primary, the ANP, is hypnotized.
Oh, yeah. And you've probably seen that video of the woman who has 20 personalities in your psychology class.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know that I believe in hypnosis. Yeah. We need to just do a whole... We did one on hypnotic regression. We just need to do a whole episode on hypnosis by itself.
I think it's what's weird is become a meme.
It's kind of
before memes. I mean, like, you know, well, the whole like swinging watch idea.
Yeah.
Versus like conditioning someone's brain.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I said, your brain can do weird things. I don't know. I haven't done any research on it, so I don't know where I land on the hypnosis.
Well, hold on. Camp. Let's say this then.
Yeah.
Blindsight's a thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me believe that hypnosis could probably be a thing.
Yeah.
But again, I'm really skeptical.
Yeah, I know. And like I've seen live like stage hypnosis, but
that's like magician stuff though.
Yeah. And like people will say like, oh, I didn't remember it, but then it's just like
I feel like real hypnosis is meditation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you can hypnotize yourself just through meditation.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll cover it someday.
This is a segment we called Let's Talk About Stuff We Don't Know About.
Yeah.
Let's give our opinions on things we don't know.
Safe thing to cover is something we don't know anything about. But proponents of this theory will claim that people diagnosed with DID didn't have it until they underwent some sort of hypnotherapy or something like that. And it develops through like years of that treatment. Their argument is that it's caused by the hypnotherapist asking them to recall repressed memories or traumatic memories, and in some cases this might generate false memory syndrome,
mm-hmm.
as they refer to it as. We just called it, what did we call
hey,
it?
Hey, remember when you were sad? Oh, you were so sad. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It the way that you recall that, it'll feel like a real memory in your brain even if it's not real. And they claim that the people that suffer from DID are consciously or subconsciously acting out in ways they see DID portrayed in media, which I don't agree with at all because it's not black or white. Some people have like one other alter. It's not always like they have 8 or 20 or whatever. There's a sliding scale here. And there's like the case in 1792 or whatever, there was no media depicting DID, and maybe she wanted attention, who knows, but I don't agree with this claim.
Yeah.
That's my own personal bias on the issue. It begs the question though, if it's real or not, because it's easy from the outside looking in just say, oh, you want attention.
Yeah, and
you're just acting out or whatever.
I assume saying that women are making stuff up for attention has always been
Yeah, and you look at the ratio all the time. Of people diagnosed with DID, like hysteria came up in that article.
Yeah.
Where that
just
was
a bunch of just blatant sexism.
Yeah, that was like men would say, "You're acting crazy, you're hysterical," and they'd send them to the doctor, and the doctor would give them an orgasm so that they would stop being crazy.
Yeah, cool.
Blatant sexism.
Gross.
It could, well, why is sex gross? We've talked about
giving
it.
Someone an orgasm medically.
It's no longer fun, is it?
No.
I think my own bias is clear. I do think that it's real. The brain is an incredibly weird place, but I'm kind of in this weird spot where normally I'm like, there's none of science. It's fake. But I don't know. If you take all of these things that we know exist and we can observe empirically and we've looked at brainwaves on like PTSD or eating disorders and all that stuff, why can't those exist comorbidly to create this other disorder?
So there's a difference that many people don't understand between atheism and agnostic.
Uh-huh.
And I think that you're agnostic about this.
Like, why is that?
Like, we don't know for certain, but maybe. But also, okay, that's a bad example because
I know what you're trying to say. I'm a little bit more toward the, like, I'm at this, there's this vacuum behind my system of belief.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, yes, this is a thing. Of course it is. All we have is evidence that's adjacent to it. We don't have like direct evidence.
Yeah.
And the evidence that we do have, there's a bunch of jerks over here saying that it's not a good study.
Yeah, but also the reason they're saying that is because science isn't caught up yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we put people in a big loud machine and we look at pictures of their brain with colors.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Yeah. What else do I have to say about this? Just some more, like, there was a study that looked at DID patients and found a lot of them experienced some sort of childhood drama. The critics looked at that and say, how can we trust our memory? What if it's false memory? I do think that's a fair argument, but if they develop these without going to a therapist, where's your evidence now? Like, why do you think that a therapist created these personalities?
Yeah, it's pretty convenient that you could just come up with saying, oh, they're lying.
Yeah, yeah, without evidence.
Doing the same thing that you're saying they're doing.
Like, there was one study done, and critics came back and said that these people were, like, known for removing data that was against their hypothesis. I don't know if that's true or not. Again, like, you can just say whatever, and then it's just out there.
Yeah.
And I can't say that's yes also, or no.
Could I ever tell you about, and this is, like, it'll be a tiny tangent,
mm-hmm.
but I was, like, I don't know. I'm pretty good with Excel and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. someone asked me to do a project.
Mm-hmm.
And right when I was about done, I won't say who taught me, but they said like, okay, cool. So now we got your facts. Now let's show you how to make them look better.
Did I say that?
It wasn't you.
Oh. That's
like, and they meant like, let's tilt them a little bit to make them.
Well, yeah, that's how like statisticians for tobacco companies work. Like,
yes.
Or anti-tobacco companies, they say that secondhand smoking can double your chances of lung cancer, but it was like from 1 in 10,000 to 2 in 10,000. So that went from 1 to 2, that's 100% increase. It doubled it.
Yeah.
Like, that's how stats work. And I've told people at work, because I work with numbers, I'm like, what do you want the outcome of this meeting to be? Because I can make these numbers say whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just how it
That's
works.
What I was taught. It's terrible.
Yeah. So,
but you're using it for good. Let's clarify.
I am using it for good. Yeah. Because I'm using it for my boss, which I consider to be good. But he doesn't want to be called a boss. He wants to be called a leader. So he's my leader. Other critics will point to the boom of diagnosis after the book Sybil came out as, like, this is a crock. This people just making it up. And like I said before, that's going to happen no matter what the illness is. My criticism to their criticism is, yes, you'll have hypochondriacs that come in and say, oh, God, I got DID. Or you'll have people that want attention and say, yes, I have DID. But you're also raising awareness about this psychological disorder that people previously might not have known they had.
Yeah.
They read about it and they're like, ah, crap, I actually do suffer from all of these.
Yeah.
That's so just going to happen.
Right. Like, it could be a crock or made up, like crocodiles is what you're saying. I get it.
Crocodiles
are just skinny alligators. They're made up. You can't prove it.
I haven't seen any studies on that, so I'm not going to comment on that. But
okay. But they are. You heard it here first.
Yeah. I could go on and on, like the people saying that they're acting out DID on what they see on TV. I think I've covered that enough already. There's just there's not enough out there. And I hope that one day we have more information out there. And if it's not caused by childhood trauma and these studies were blown out of proportion, I'd be happy to hear that. But at this point in time, I don't subscribe to that. I don't think that it's made up. I don't think people are seeking attention. I don't think that they're overreacting. I don't think they're pretending. I think that this is a real disorder.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Should we talk about how it gets treated?
Yeah, dude.
Just real fast, because, again, the people that Jason spoke to said that there's no, like, rule book for this. It kind of depends on the patient. And I think that's what, like, Jason did before he moved to Japan. He would help people through, specialized cognitive behavioral therapy and give them, like, I don't want to say special treatment, because that comes with negative connotations, but customized treatment, maybe, like specific to that patient to help them get better.
That's great.
Like, yeah. That's kind of what you have to do with these cases. And Jason, sorry if I'm wrong. I don't know. That's just my assumption. So the most common treatment is going to be your typical therapy sessions, and not like typical, but like talk therapy or psychotherapy are the most common treatments you'll see. And the psychotherapy is going to be used to fix negative patterns in someone's life hands-on. There's rarer forms of treatment might be eye movement desensitization,
yeah,
and reprocessing,
yeah,
EMDR, which I've looked into this so many times because Jason suggested a long time ago, just based on the work that he's done, and we talked about a little bit in another episode. I can't remember.
Me neither.
Maybe it was cognitive. No, it came up when we were talking about PTSD.
Yeah,
but yes. I can't remember what episode that was. And I looked into it again and I still don't understand it, but basically it's a way of treating trauma that like supposedly helps the brain heal, and they use it a lot in PTSD patients. They might also use it in DID patients.
I want to cover that.
Someday he didn't work with it specifically, and he reached out to some people to figure out what it was, and they didn't really give a good definition.
We'll get Jason on for something else.
Yeah. But someday I'll figure out how it works and I'll tell you guys. And apparently there's more extreme treatments, like breaking down each personality and bringing them into one, which is something I actually thought was only in the movies, that Identity movie, which I have on my bookshelf or my DVD shelf. I thought that was...
The Bourne Identity?
No, Identity.
I have no idea what that
is. It's the horror movie. It had like John Cusack and the guy that's on the commercials now for smoking, the smoking patches. You know the guy. His name is Ray Liotta. He's in there.
No, I don't know the guy.
Okay, I'll grab the DVD shelf when we go to break and...
Just get the DVD. I don't need the whole shelf.
Okay. But that was on Psychology Today's article, so I guess that it does happen.
Do you think that Psychology Tomorrow is a good psychic magazine?
Yes. Okay. I think we should start one.
All right.
In the meantime, should we go to break real fast?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. It's got that guy with the beautiful eyes.
Ray Liotta.
That's him?
He's got striking eyes. Yeah, let me see.
He's like the old guy that's in the cop show now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Ray Liotta and John Cusack and Amanda Peet.
Okay.
I feel like I've seen her in a lot of things, but I have no idea what it is. Or Rebecca De Mornay.
I've never seen that movie.
I really enjoyed it in sixth grade.
Okay.
I don't know if it holds up. I think I bought this in sixth grade at like a Big Lots.
Oh, boy.
I talked my mom into buying it for me, even though it's rated R. Anyway, maybe you should take that home and watch it.
I'll think about it.
Yeah. Well, now that, like, I don't know, the whole trailer spoiled the movie, so I don't know if it's worth protecting from spoilers, but the whole thing takes place in a dude's mind, and they're trying to combine all the personalities, so... Spoiler alert on Identity.
That's not how those work. But where can people find us?
They can find us at facebook.com/group/strangerstill. They can find us on iTunes and leave us a nice review or a mean one. I don't care. Just tell us what you think.
Yeah.
And if you're going to say that I'm closed-minded, think twice.
That's right.
Jerk.
I'll make a mixtape about you.
Yeah, I'll make a diss track. Where else can people find us, John?
Iowa.
How about flyingmachine.network?
They could do that.
We are part of the Flying Machine, proudly part of the Flying Machine Network. There's a lot of good shows on there, especially if you are into chick flicks, or if you are into comic books, or politics, or several things that is covered on the Potsters podcast. Like, it just covers everything, and every episode's fantastic. So.
Yeah.
There is a Patreon for the network, though, so if you want to help support the show, you can do that at...
StrangerStillShow.com/shop.
That's the best simplest way to get there. If you support us on Patreon, you can choose the shows you listen to. You can also ask for a shout out on your favorite show. And we do have a shout out this week.
Yeah.
For Jason Lee.
Look at that.
And Christy Lee, his wife. Or is it?
Sometimes people call him Jason and Christy Lee.
Yeah. That'd be a better way to say it. But thanks for listening, guys. You guys, both of you have been with us for like a year now.
Yeah.
Been really helpful to the show. And we really appreciate it.
Let's talk about what we use that for. So
yeah.
Sometimes we went to the psychic convention and things like that.
Yeah.
Some of these things, if we're going to do something special or go above and beyond and buy research, we can use a little funds to do so.
There is a stage hypnotist coming on October like 4th or 5th.
Yeah.
That I really want to go to. So
that'd be perfect for
support us on Patreon.
Episode.
Yeah. Support us on Patreon and maybe we'll go see that.
Okay.
Also, if you want us to report on a stage hypnotist, let us know on Facebook.
Yep.
That's where we do a majority of the interactions. October month is also coming up.
That's right.
So get your suggestions in for that. We like to cover spooky stuff. Jason has, again, provided a bunch of awesome suggestions. I'll put up a poll eventually, but make sure you get your suggestions and before that poll goes
up. We kind of switch it up where now we will put a poll up for the entire month.
Yeah.
And then
I can only
go
do like
through
one poll up.
Yeah. I could do like
that's
two.
That's the best joke I got.
Oh, man.
So as we close out, I think I gave my thoughts on DID. What are your thoughts? Do you think that it's all made up?
No.
Putting you on the spot here.
Nah, I think that the people that are making it up are making it up.
Yeah.
I think that the people are making up that they're making up are making up that they're making it up.
I don't know where the benefit would be in that, though. Like,
the benefit in saying it's fake?
Yeah.
They feel superior about it?
Maybe. Like, some of the saltiness in these articles I read on people that think it's caused by hypnotherapists is, like, so weird. It's like these people are upset that this disorder may exist, so they have to, like, be a dick about it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't understand the idea behind that, but I don't know. I certainly, like, it is a slippery slope because there's definitely people out there. This is when we just get into opinion and I might say some dumb stuff, but there are people out there that will say they have multiple personalities or multiple identities for attention. Like, that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And I think that,
or casually, like, oh, I'm so OCD about this.
Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff, like, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
That maybe I'll just,
that comes down to language though.
Kind of, but it creates this air about OCD and creates so many misconceptions that it really bothers me when people say it.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother like my brother that actually has OCD for some reason, but people are like, oh, people with OCD, they just want everything organized. No, they like can't function in their life until something is perfect.
Right.
So if they step out of their house wrong, they have to repeat that action until it's correct and move on with their day.
Yeah.
It's incredibly inhibiting to their life.
So
and you're just like, oh, I got OCD because my pen has to be in its pen holder on my desk.
Yeah.
Like,
love that character voice.
Yeah. It's just my coworkers. My coworkers that say that they, like, that's the place that I experience it most, where people are like, oh, my OCD, I have all my papers in a row. No, that's just wanting to be organized and not liking things out of order. OCD is when that becomes a ritual in your life and inhibiting to getting on with your day.
Yeah.
So I think that people might also say, like, oh, my crazy ex, they have multiple personalities. Like, no, they probably don't. Maybe they're bipolar, they have borderline personality disorder, but like, are there memories being sectioned off within their brain that can only be accessed by a certain alter? I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
And now you're diluting the actual issue here. And I do think that that is a problem. And that probably certainly adds to the argument that this is all fabricated or created by hypnotherapists, which really frustrates
and
me.
And it supports the fake pop culture image of it. Multiple personality
disorder. Like, oh, you're acting like you see it on TV.
Yeah, and the fact that it's still called multiple personality disorder adds to the pop culture image of what DID is.
I think even in that movie called Identity, it's called multiple personality disorder. Or I just don't remember because last time I watched it was literally in sixth grade.
Yeah, everybody looks very handsome on this.
Yeah, they're all very beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it. I remember really enjoying it.
How could it be bad? It's got John Cul-de-sac. You got who else?
Other people?
Sure.
I don't know. So I think that'll do it for this week, right?
Yep.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you... Thank you.